As we come this morning, I want to share with you just a little bit of an internal struggle I had as I was preparing for this very specific message. When Pastor John and I sat down a little while ago, a few months ago, and we're planning out the rest of the year and the Advent season, and we were looking at this date as a time when I was going to be bringing one of the messages, and I recognized that we are very, very close to Thanksgiving, just a few days away. And I had an internal struggle about what it is that I should preach on. Should I come and give a message about Thanksgiving and the call to be thankful? It kind of seems like the obvious choice, right? Thanksgiving is in just a few days. And as a preacher of God's word, let me tell you, it's pretty easy to find passages within God's word that could match up with this holiday. Let me just give you a few examples of this. The first one is in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Just to show you like how easily it can be to just say, all right, it's Thanksgiving. Let's see. Are there any passages that we could preach on? There we go. So like Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be what? Thankful. So there it is. Or he goes on to say, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to what? To God. And then it goes on even more in that passage, verse 17, like three verses in a row, boom, boom, boom. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I mean, it's all over the scriptures. You can come and you can see this call to be thankful. Ephesians chapter 4, or chapter 5, verse 4, he says, let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. I love that. That's out of place. Like, that's just wrong. Like, that just doesn't fit. But instead, let there be, say it with me, thanksgiving. Or probably the most famous of them all. In fact, my brother, who's a pastor in Kentucky, is preaching on this passage today. We shared notes. We're cheating. No, I'm just kidding. My daughter actually asked me, she says, if you and Pastor, or no, she doesn't call him Pastor Aaron. If you and Uncle Aaron are preaching the same thing, isn't that wrong? I'm like, we're not preaching the same thing. Trust me. You can go listen to his messages. It's not. But he's preaching on this text. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Like the big three. This is God's will. His word even says, rejoice, pray, give thanks. So now while it was easy for me to find passages that I could easily support preaching about so close to Thanksgiving, I tell you, I struggled. I didn't want to do it. And I'll tell you why I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it at first because I felt like it would be a cliche. It's Thanksgiving. I'm going to pander to the masses. So what do you preach on when you're close to Thanksgiving? Preach on Thanksgiving. Selfishly, inside of me, I'm like, I didn't want you all to look at me and say, he's copping out. He's doing the easiest thing, right? Not being very creative, are you, Pastor Dave? Just going right to Thanksgiving because it's this holiday. That, honestly, that was a struggle. But then God did something. I began to study these passages a little bit more, tried to examine my own heart. I began to pray over the scriptures that I was reading, and God kind of gently kind of slapped me upside the head and he said, get over yourself. Get over what you think people might think about this. Because what the Lord showed me as I studied these texts and began to understand them more is that I would potentially be robbing not just you, but even myself of potential joy and peace, help and healing, if I did not talk about the place that Thanksgiving has in the life of the Christian. So I began to see, really? Just because you don't want to be cliche-ish or be seen as just going for the easiest thing, that you would not come and share what God's word has to say. Because what became exceptionally clear as I allowed God's word to wash over me in this way, is that much of what ails my spirit and much of what I find ails others, what hinders our growth in the Lord and spiritual maturity, our growth in the gospel, as well as the gospel's growth in the world as it's proclaimed to the lost, much of that can be traced back to how we think about, talk about Thanksgiving. Because Thanksgiving is not just something that people are supposed to do, God's word says. It's not just some holiday that we celebrate because of what some pilgrims did. It's actually a defining characteristic for the people of God, for us, His church, for Valley Center Community Church. It is something that is to ultimately define us. And I don't think that I'm out of place in actually saying that Thanksgiving is a medicine. You hear me? It's a medicine that God gives to hurt and to struggling souls. Something to help us. If we're experiencing hurt and trouble in the depths of who we are, Thanksgiving is this medicine that God gives. It's also an aid. It's something that God says, here, this is a help for you if you desire joy, but you're in a lot of darkness. I've given you Thanksgiving. I've called you to Thanksgiving. And then, in a very powerful way for all of us here today, it's a catalyst that pushes us towards worship. If worship isn't in our hearts today, I would hope that by the end you'd begin to see, as you understand this idea of Thanksgiving, how Thanksgiving propels us in our worship of God. But I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. I'm going to come back to those things. Because where we need to start, ultimately where I want us to begin this morning, is first looking at this most blessed word, God's word, and examining what it has to say about Thanksgiving, to give us a framework that helps us to understand what is Thanksgiving, why are we called to it, but do we all understand what we're talking about when we talk about Thanksgiving and the giving of thanks? I love God's word so much because it's this light, it's this lamp that guides us. It makes sense of the world, it makes sense of our emotions, it makes sense of our thoughts if we would just let it do that. And so if you have your light and lamp today, I'd invite you to open up to Colossians chapter 3. If you don't, many of these scriptures are going to be up on the screen. But Colossians chapter 3, going back to verse 15, where one of the scriptures that we actually already read this morning, let's look at that together. So Colossians 3:15. Let me read through this text, and then let's look at some of the things that it helps us to understand this morning, starting in verse 15. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. When you read this section of Scripture now for the second time this morning, some things begin to jump out. There's some things that this Scripture makes clear for us. And one of the first things that I believe God's Word shows us this morning is that thankfulness and thanksgiving, while intricately linked, are ultimately not the same thing. Do you hear me? This scripture, as I'll show in just a minute, helps us to make clear that while intricately linked, you can't have thankfulness without thanksgiving and thanksgiving without thankfulness. They're not the same thing. Let me show you what I mean by that. First and foremost, what you see in this text is that thankfulness, it's an internal disposition of gratitude for something that has been received by you or me. It's something that happens on the inside of us. And again, when we look at the text, we see this made clear. Verse 15. Thanksgiving, an internal disposition. And let the peace of Christ rule where? In your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Verse 15 says that peace is to be known and experienced internally by the Christian. We are to know it and to experience it, to recognize that it's our reality in Christ, and it's to be in our inner being. And then he goes and he says at the very and be thankful. What he's saying there is just as peace is to rule in your heart, so too thankfulness is something that is within inside of us. It's something that is to be in our hearts. But he makes this even more clear when we come to verse 16. You can see the first part of verse 15, and then he says in the end of 16, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. He's like, in case you didn't get it the first time, let me tell you that thankfulness is something that happens inside of you. It's something that when you recognize what it is that you have received, it's happening in here. So thankfulness and thanksgiving, while linked, they're not the same thing. Thankfulness is an internal disposition. It's going on inside of us. In fact, what I wrote down this week is that thankfulness is what we know and what we feel internally when we have received something for which we know we did not deserve, something that has come to us as a gift, as a kindness of someone else. So the scriptures say, be thankful. Recognize what thankfulness is, this internal disposition of gratitude for what you, for what I have received. But then the text gives us another clear indication of what thanksgiving actually is. Thankfulness is one thing. Thanksgiving is what we do as a display of our thankfulness. So I know that I'm thankful. I've experienced this, and now I'm going to actually show it. And again, God's word is so very, very clear. Verse 17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. How clear. Whatever you do in word, when you're moving your mouth, or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so what he's really saying here, if I could paraphrase this verse, is this. Whatever you do in word or deed, do in the name of the Lord Jesus, and make sure in your speaking and in your doing that you display that you are thankful. Your speech, your conduct should display what has already happened in your heart. Thanksgiving is what you do to show that you recognize, that I recognize that we are grateful for what it is that we have received. Now we kind of know this. In fact, for the men here today, if you have ever gone and proposed to a lady, and you've spent all that money on that ring, and you got that box, and then you come, and maybe if you're a little bit more traditional, one day you got down on that knee, right? And you open up that box, and you said, will you marry me? And there that ring is in all of its glory. And you're anticipating in that moment. What are you anticipating? Are you anticipating this? Meh. You're not anticipating. Meh. You're anticipating. Yes, oh, thank you so much. You're anticipating that you've given a gift, that you're going to get some kind of a response to it, that internally she's going to be thankful. If she's not, you should probably close the box and, you know, go away. Your heart will be broken, but you'll get over it. Anyways, so, but that's what is happening, right? You know that someone is thankful by their giving of thanks. Now, what most of us have experienced, Christmas is coming. Have you ever at Christmas time, or maybe for somebody's birthday, sat down and thought really long and hard about a gift that you wanted to give to somebody, right? And you're so excited to give the gift. Why? Not because you think it's so great, but because you're kind of anticipating their response, that they are going to be so grateful, that they're going to be so excited about the gift that you give. And when that day comes, and you give that gift and you're just like, here it is, you know, and you're kind of playing all sheepish and everything. And then they open that gift. If it's a child, if it's a loved one, if it's a friend, and you see their face just explode with joy. They're like, this is perfect. This is just what I wanted. Thank you so much. That is so kind. They've received this gift and now they're showing their gratitude. They're expressing it. Versus on the other end, hopefully this hasn't been you, but maybe it has, where you give that gift. And again, they give you kind of like, oh, that's nice. Like, what happens to us in that moment? Like, we're just like devastated because we're anticipating that there will be the acknowledgement of the gift. So thanksgiving and thankfulness are intricately tied together, but thanksgiving is what we do to display our thankfulness. Two verses even make this more clear. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 4. Remember this verse. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. But instead of all this icky talk, all this blah stuff, speak what? Thanksgiving. Speak it. It's an action. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. In your praying, what do we do when we pray? We're communicating. We're communicating with God. As you're communicating with God, part of your communication should be acknowledgments for that of which you have received. To put it most simply, thankfulness is what you feel. Thanksgiving is what you do to show it. And so I know, like, on the one hand, this can be really, really obvious, but on another hand, it's not necessarily obvious, is it? Like, if we are people who receive, we don't just want to be thankful here. We want people to know. We want to express our thanksgiving. So, yes, you want to feel thankful, but thanksgiving is not just feeling thankful. Thanksgiving is actually letting those who have given the gift, those around us, know that we've received the gift and saying, thank you. I am grateful. As I studied this week, I began to recognize that it is a completely foreign thought to the authors of the Bible that Christians would be thankful and not express it. For them, it's just, how could you not receive and then not communicate how grateful it is, how grateful you are for what it is that you have received? Thankfulness and thanksgiving, intricately linked and yet different. One is the internal thing that we feel and know. The other is the external display of what we feel and know as far as gratitude is concerned. So, but just knowing that that's what that is doesn't lead us to actually answer the question, why is this something that we are called to do within Scripture? How is this a defining mark of what it means to be a Christian? Why do the writers of the Bible actually spend so much time talking to us about giving thanks? What gives Paul the idea that we should be a people that are thankful and express that thankfulness in thanksgiving? I think it's this. Because Paul knows that foundational to the Christian faith, to your faith and to my faith, is the understanding that Christians are a people, hear me now, who have immeasurably received that which we did not deserve or earn. Can I get an amen to that? We, you, me, are a people who have received immeasurably, abundantly more than what we could have ever anticipated, and we didn't earn it, and we didn't deserve it. And so Paul, along with the other authors, is saying, look, foundational to being a Christian is this understanding. You see, because if we had time this morning, and if we were slowly reading through the book of Colossians, before you come to verses 15, 16, and 17, where Paul talks about you and I giving thanks, when you read through the book of Colossians, you have to come past chapter 2 first. And when you look at chapter 2 of Colossians, starting in verse 6, you realize something. You realize that before Paul calls us to be a people who give thanks and are thankful, he says these words. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Therefore, as you received, Paul is saying, you are a people who have received. And what have you received? Jesus Christ. Think about it. If thanksgiving is a display of thankfulness over the gratitude for what it is that we have received, Paul says, you and I have received a gift, and that gift is Jesus. And so he says, so walk in him. Recognize that what you have is this unending, amazing gift of Jesus, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. He says that ultimately when you recognize this that you have received, i.e. Jesus, it causes you to abound in thanksgiving. I love the word abound. It's just one of those words. It's like this pent up. It's like me, if I were, I'm not going to do it. I could, but I'm not going to. Like jumping around the stage, right? He's like, that person is abounding. They just can't keep it in. He says, this type of gift that you've received, what Christians have received in Jesus, is this thing that makes you just want to just shout it. And so then he goes and he does the most beautiful thing. He says, all right, so let's just be clear about what it is that you've actually received in Jesus. So picking up in verse 9, he says this. For in him, that is Jesus, the whole fullness of deity dwells, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In him, in Christ, also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Then he says, verse 12, what he means by all this. Having been buried with him, that's Jesus, in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. He's saying, do you hear me? Do you hear me? Christ died, so you have died, and he was raised, so you have been raised. Verse 13, and you were dead in your trespasses, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him. He's saying, you have been, I have been, you have been, I have been made alive through Jesus. This is what you've received. Why are you abounding in thanksgiving? Because look at what you have received. He says, not just this, he says, God made us alive together with him, having forgiven us all our sins, all our trespasses. How many? All. Past, present, future. All has been forgiven by Jesus. I didn't deserve that. I couldn't have earned that. Paul says, this is what you have. This is what you have received. And he did this by canceling the record of death that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities for you and put them to open shame by triumphing over them. This is the power of God on behalf of the saints. Do you see, Paul says, before I call you to give thanks, do you see what it is that you have actually received? That for which you should be grateful. But then you come over to Galatians. In Galatians chapter 4, he gives us another list of which we can give thanks. He says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive, this is beautiful, adoptions as sons and daughters. We've become part of a family, brought in by God to his family. And because you are sons and daughters, check this out, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son, but a daughter. And if a son, if a daughter, then an heir through God. Prince and princesses, because of the work of Christ. You have received an inheritance. You have received a title. You have received an identity. You have received a status. And that is a status that binds you to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What an amazing gift. But one more passage, Ephesians chapter 2. Many of you could probably recite this, starting in verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us. That you've received that too. The great love with which he loved us. A love that never ends. Because the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our our sins, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Raised with him so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable, huh? Does that mean I can measure it? No, it's immeasurable riches of his grace. Now we've got grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and this not of your own doing. It's a gift of God. There's the gift. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that he prepared in advance that we should walk in them. My friends, as we sit here today, do you see that we are a people who have received immeasurably more than what we could ever truly imagine. Grace upon grace upon grace has come to us time and time again. What gives Paul the idea that we should be a people that are thankful and express that thankfulness with thanksgiving? What gives him that idea? Because Paul knew that we, above all people, have received and are receiving and will receive immeasurably more than we could ever truly imagine. I made this list from those scriptures that we saw earlier. Think about this. New life, eternal life, eternal forgiveness of sins. This is what you and I are recipients of this morning. New life. It's not just that there's a hope of eternity. Sometimes we as Christians get so focused on the hope of eternity, not recognizing that right now and here, I have the ability to obey, the ability to love, the ability to show grace, the ability to have mercy on people. Because well, first off, that's who I've been created to be. But now in Christ, I can actually do those things and be empowered to do those things. I have this eternal life yet to come. I have eternal forgiveness. When I wake up in the morning, it's not the fact that I'm just sitting there quivering in bed saying, oh my gosh, oh no, I could, what if I sin today? I don't know, is he going to forgive me? Is he going to still love me? I get to say amen and yes, he loves me because he's forgiven my sins and he's forgiven your sins once and for all. He's canceled that debt. Do you hear me? There's no fear of him today. If I sin or if I'm perfectly obedient because he has forgiven me eternally and I have never ending love. I know Hannah loves me. I know the girls love me. I know Pastor Jason loves me. Right, Pastor Jason? Yes, he does. He just doesn't want to say it. But he loves me. And I know the church loves me. But you know what? Even if I didn't have that love, I know that the God who made the heavens and the earth, he is the one who loves me eternally, forever, because he eternally and forever loves his son, in whom I am bound together. Cancellation of an eternal debt. I could never pay the debt for my sins. I owe it. I fully owe it. That's why an eternal Savior had to come and cancel it. Salvation from death. We're all going to die in this room. Unless the Lord comes back, every single person here is going to die. But for us who are in Christ, who are known by God and know God, what that means for us is death doesn't keep us from his presence, but ushers us into his presence. We have mercy. We have grace. We have immeasurable riches in this amazing inheritance. We have, and I can't emphasize this one enough, freedom from slavery. Sin does not have mastery over us. We have been freed. I'd venture to say that not many of us can understand this in its fullness of what it's like to be a slave. But he comes and he frees us. And then we have a new family. A new dad, brothers and sisters, perfect and for all eternity. Take a look at this list. But then on top of all of this, I mean, just right now we could stop and give God thanks for this. But then when you look at that list, you notice something. There are some things that you and I receive that are temporal and we're grateful for it. When somebody gives you a cup of cold water, thank you so much. When somebody pays off a debt for you, you say, oh, that, I'm just so grateful. But those things are temporary. Every single thing on this list is something that we as Christians will experience eternally, not just today, but tomorrow and for all eternally. And so what this means on a very practical level, church, listen to this, is that our giving of thanks for these things should never end. Because our receiving of all of this, guess what? It never ends. Can you think of any gift that could be given to you that is like the gift of salvation and is like the gift of Jesus Christ? That's why the Apostle Paul says, praise be to God for his indescribable gift in reference to Jesus. In talking about Thanksgiving, we see that what distinguishes Christianity, I believe, from all other religions of the world, is this. We, out of all other people, understand what true thanksgiving is. Because all other religions of the world, you ultimately do things for your God or for your gods in order that they would give you these kinds of things. And so if you and I are doing those things and earning them, are they really gifts to us? can we really be thankful for them in the same way that a Christian can be thankful and say, I didn't deserve any of that, and yet it came to me. Versus all other religions, you can go back, listen to the message we gave in the summer. All other religions say you do these things for your God or gods or whatever, and then you get something back in return. And Christianity says, no, no, no. We of all people are the ones who can stop and say, thank you. Thank you because I did nothing to earn any of this. Thankfulness is the gratitude we feel and know for what we have received, and thanksgiving is the outward expression of that gratitude. My friends in church here today, are we not a people who have received? We have received immensely. I came across a video a while back. I was at a retreat and somebody showed this video, and I want to show it to you in just a moment. It's a true story. Some of the things in the video are actually happening in real time when they recorded them. I want to show you this video because I believe that this video demonstrates what thankfulness and the giving of thanks looks like, commensurate to that which you have received. Do you know what I mean when I say that? I want you to see visually what it is that this person has received and how thankfulness and thanksgiving should be commensurate to the gift that you have received. And I want you to listen carefully because the woman in the video, if we could have the audio up just a little bit more, the woman in the video, she's from Africa. She's a little bit hard to understand, but she had broken her hip and had rods inserted in her hips. And so you'll hear her mention that, but then I just want you to sit back, watch, and listen, and see what thankfulness and thanksgiving look like and what it meant to this one woman in our story.
I had an accident and my hip was broken in so many pieces. I have two rods in my hip.
She's an angel among us. If you watch her in the bread company, everyone comes in to see Catherine.
You know, we sell the bread, but I feel like there are some people who specifically come with prayer requests. And I go pray for them.
One day when we were sharing, she said she was in need of a different car, that her car was needing expensive repairs.
I had been saving money, but I knew it wasn't enough, so I knew I'll take a few years to save for it.
So a couple months later, I went in and I said, Catherine, how's your car fund coming? And she said, I gave it all away. And I looked at her and she said, there was a widow in need, and I gave her the $5,000.
I struggled a lot when I gave that money. And I said, I feel okay, but do you think I did the right thing? I mean, I cannot give what I don't have, so I just give what I have.
I was shocked, and so I come home and I tell Pete that we needed to help Catherine with her car fund. He looked at me and he said, no, I think we need to buy Catherine a car. And I said, okay, great. Pete called Scott and said, do you know Catherine Gray Harvest? And he said, yes, he did. Pete said, well, we'd like to buy her a car. He asked Pete, do you want to use your new car? And it just hit him right in the face. Why would he ask me that? Of course I would want a used car. That's good enough. He just paused for a moment and he said, I want a new car. And he said it was silent on the phone for a few seconds. And Scott said, whoa, I want to help. And so he pitched in some.
So she came to the bakery and she asked me, if you were to buy a car, what kind of a car would you like? I said, Debbie, I'm not really planning to buy a car. But she said, oh, just tell me.
And she said, I'd like a SUV, cruise control, and she said, I'd like a light color. And we called Scott, and he said, I think I've got the perfect car. So Pete said, can we deliver it tomorrow? So we have the bread company owner and his family, Scott and his family, and our family. And Catherine sees us all coming in, and she's just all excited to see everyone.
And I went to give them hugs, and I said, what's Pete doing here? I didn't have the biggest idea. When I went out,
and so we walked her over to the car. We said, Catherine, this is your new car.
So, I said, for me, this is for me. He said, well, I knew God had many cars, but I didn't know He had a new one for me. So, God had new cars? He said, for me?
We all stood there in tears as we saw the joy on Catherine's face, and we got to be a part of it. And the joy of that was unbelievable.
That's all right. But it was such an excitement to drive it.
We told Catherine that we would like this to be confidential. But I kept running into people who would say, I heard what you did for Catherine. It wasn't even us. It was Catherine. It all started with Catherine giving of what she had to a widow to help her. And it just continues on. Generosity begets generosity.
We don't give in order to receive. We give because it's the nature of Jesus Christ. He gave us His life. So we have the DNA of Jesus Christ of giving. Yeah, so this is one story I will never forget in my life.
Powerful video, isn't it? There's a lot that could be communicated about what we can learn from that. But there's one thing that video makes really abundantly clear when you watch it. And that is when you understand the magnitude of what you have received, you cannot help but be thankful. And then thanksgiving flows out of a heart that is thankful for what it has received. Catherine in that video had received an amazing gift. The gratitude that she felt over that gift overwhelmed her. And as you saw in the video, her thanksgiving then flowed out. You knew she was thankful. She was giving hugs. She was saying, thank you so much. Thank you. One of the best clips in it was when she's driving at the very end there and she's saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. She knows where it ultimately comes from, but she expressed what she was feeling to those around her. You knew she was thankful because it moved her to the giving of thanks. It even moved her as they said, you know, Catherine, we'd rather you not share this with people. And she said, we kept running into people that said, we heard what you did for Catherine. What a sweet, sweet thing to see. And, you know, I definitely would believe that the kind of expression of thanksgiving that she gave for the gift that she had received, I believe that was merited. To receive a gift like that for something that you so desperately need, her just overwhelming expression of gratitude was, I think, well, well placed. And as you think of her and what it is that she received, look back at the list of what you and I have received, though. What we have received, are receiving, and will continue to receive if the gift of a car created that kind of thankfulness in somebody. How much more this list? We have not received a car. We have received this. We have received Jesus. You can begin to see why I said at the beginning what I said, that this is why Thanksgiving is ultimately a catalyst to aid us in our worship, because if you know what it is that you have received from God, you can't help but stop and say, thank you, Lord. Praise you for who you are and what you've done. I just can't help but not tell people of all that I have received. We begin to understand why we are called when we look at this list to not only give thanks, but to be a people of thanksgiving. How it's a defining mark for us as a people of God, and how no group of people that exist on the earth today have received the kind of gifts that we have received if we are known by our God in this way. Amen? I mean, this is what you and I have experienced. I hope you begin to see a little bit more of my heart. While as I studied this, I began to see it was pretty pathetic to think for any minute that really, not just on this Sunday, but any Sunday, John or I shouldn't get up here and preach about Thanksgiving. Because these are never-ending things that we want to share and talk about every single day. When you and I understand what it is that we have received, you can begin to see why the Apostle Paul said what he said in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Paul said this because he knew that we often forget what we have received, are receiving, and will continue to receive from God, which we most desperately need but do not deserve. So Paul says, give thanks in all circumstances. He's not coming today, and he's not coming saying to give thanks in necessarily that specific circumstance. But what he is saying is, says it doesn't matter what circumstance you're in, because in whatever circumstance you're in, you still have this. You are receiving this, and you do have this. So when he says give thanks, it gets us out of that moment when we are able to recognize and say, Lord, look at who you are and what you have done for me. It's why I said in the very beginning, and I come back to it, Thanksgiving is a medicine provided by God for those who are hurt and troubled in their souls. Because when you or I are in the midst of a physical or emotional struggle, something that we might or might not ever get out of, we can still come in that moment and say, thank you, God, that Christ died so that I would be delivered from the judgment that was due me because of my sin. Thank you, God, that Jesus took the greatest struggle. Lord, I'm hurting physically or I'm hurting emotionally, and this is a struggle and this is a pain for me, but thank you that I won't have to endure the greatest pain and struggle ever because Christ did it for me, so that one day I'm going to be relieved from all this pain, from all this struggle once and for all. And I have that hope because Christ died and was raised from the dead. This is why we turn to Thanksgiving when our souls are troubled. Not because we're trying to find in the pain what to give thanks for because of the pain, but because we can look beyond it to the one who suffered far more for us. It's why if you're in one of those dark nights of the soul here today and you're struggling with joy, struggling to find joy in the midst of things, that you again can come and say, Lord, in this darkness, thank you that right now I know that you are with me and your love is ever before me and your mercy and your grace are on me. And thank you that my eternal joy does not rest on what is being done to me or what I am going to do, but on what you have done for me in and through Jesus. Are you hurt? Are you troubled? Are you fighting for joy? Come to the well of thanksgiving. Come to the well of Jesus and drink deeply, because in it you will begin to see that you are holy and fully satisfied. There's no group of people on earth who should be more in the habit of giving thanks than we, the people of God, who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. And yet we recognize we live in a fallen world. And Thanksgiving can be hard. I think Part of that is because we have an innate ability within inside of us to recognize what we don't have. Can I get an amen to that? You're calling to give thanks, but in any given moment, because of our fallenness, we don't look at what we do have. We get our eyes focused on, look, I don't have this. And typically we focus on the temporal things we don't have. I don't have that job. I don't have that car. I don't have that money. I don't have that friendship. I don't have that relationship. I don't have this. I don't have that. And we focus in on that. And Thanksgiving pushes us out and through that and says, you don't look at what you don't have. You look at what you do have. And that is far greater than what you don't have. But we also have to recognize we have this ability to forget what we even do have. That in any given moment, we forget what we do have in Christ. I can tell you there's moments when I'm holding my little daughter on Wednesday night, right? And I won't describe the scene in its fullness, but as I'm holding her in those moments, I'm forgetting the nearness of God, His comfort, and His peace for me. Recognizing that even in this, He's walking with me. I can forget that. I don't know what you're going through, but there can be those moments where we can forget what we do have because of the circumstances around us. We have to battle here. We have this ability to only want to see what is wrong with the world around us, too. How can you give thanks when you got CBS News, ABC News, NBC News, Fox News, CNN News telling you everything every day that's wrong with the world? Because guess what? The good news doesn't sell. It's why at the beginning of the service, sometimes we stop as a church and we give praise for what God is doing. Because sometimes you can get so focused on, well, this isn't happening. They're not growing. This isn't taking place. It's innate within us to only see what is wrong with the world. But again, Thanksgiving comes and it says we don't have to be this people because we're not this people. And then probably the worst of them all is that we have this innate ability to feel like what we do get, we deserved. I.e., we have a deep sense of entitlement. Of course God would do that for me. Look at me. Why wouldn't He do that for me? Or we believe in this crazy, dumb, idiotic thing called karma. That what goes around, what? Comes around. Baloney. There's a sovereign God of the universe who's working all things according to His will. And there's not one thing that I have that I deserved. And yet, so often I feel like when something is done for me, even the good things in life, I think, you know what? Yeah, it's about time. I'm the only one, right? Never, nobody else? And so Paul says these words to us. You want to combat all this? You want to be that people of Thanksgiving? Well, before you get to chapter 3, you run into chapter 2 of Colossians, or chapter 3 of Colossians. Before you get to verses 15 through 17, he says, if then, you have been what? Raised with Christ. Have you been raised with Jesus Christ? Is He your Savior? And that's you today. He's talking to you. He's kind of saying, if you have been, and I know you have, and as I can say it to you today, as I know you have, seek the things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. He says you have to keep seeking this. Seeking to know the glories of Christ, the riches of who He is and what He has lavished upon His saints. We are a people who need to keep learning. That's what Paul is saying here. Seek the things that are above. Don't stop. Don't ever think that for one minute what will hinder you from giving thanks is the moment that you stop learning how immeasurable the grace of God is towards you. I preach this. I study this. I'm in God's Word all the time. I'm sharing it with others. But you and I can never come to a place and say, yeah, we got this. Let's close this up. Let's move on to something else. We come to this place to learn, to know, to hear more of God. Don't stop. Keep pursuing deeply the riches of Jesus Christ. Keep reminding yourself of what you do know. Don't just keep learning, but keep reminding yourself. One of the reasons why the saints gather around the world on Sunday morning is not just because we want to be good boys and girls who obey Jesus, but it's because this is a place where we experience the grace of God, reminding ourselves as we sing songs and as we hear the word preached, behold your God. Look at who He is. Glory in what He has done. Keep learning. keep reminding yourselves to combat those feelings, those thoughts, what's inside of us to forget, is to keep reminding that list of what we do have, to study this word. And then finally, my friends, keep sharing with others what has been done for you. Catherine Gray Harvest, in that video, she received that gift of the car and she says, do you know what they did for me? I got a car. Do you know what happened, what has been done for me? That joy, it keeps spilling out that Thanksgiving. One of the great joys for John and I when we get to preach is the fact that we've been learning all week. We've been washing our minds over in these things, and then we get to share it with you. One of the greatest ways to both learn and to remember what it is that you have learned and remember is to do what? Teach it, share it with others in your families. On Thanksgiving Day, don't just go and sit before that turkey and say, thank you, Lord, for this food. Take time as a family, if that's not your tradition, and say, what is it today that we want to thank the Lord for? Not just what he gives us here, but what he's given us in Jesus Christ. And don't just do that on Thanksgiving. Oh, please don't just do it on Thanksgiving. And don't just do it in your prayers in your closet by yourself. Do you hear me here? Do you hear me? This isn't something that I'm just kind of an inward person. I just kind of thank God in private. No, no. We want to be out in the world giving praise and thanks to him. One of the ways that the gospel goes forth is as God's people say, do you know what my God has done? Not just for me, but also for you. So church, in light of all this, let us not be silent in our giving of thanks. Let us not be deceived to think that we got this or that we can ever move beyond this. And let us be a people who give praise. Amen. Let me pray for us as Pastor Jason and the team come to lead us in praise this morning. Let's pray. Lord, as we come, my prayer for my heart, for the heart of my brothers and sisters here, is that we would be overflowing with a knowledge of what you have accomplished in Christ so that we would abound in thanksgiving. That we would not keep to ourselves what it is that Christ has done, but that we would share that with others, that we would express that gratitude to you, and that we would let the world know that your Spirit would never let us just sit idly by in our troubles and in our sorrows, but that your Spirit would lead and guide us into the truths that save and that sustain, that we would see Christ as that indescribable gift. Lord, we rejoice over gifts of a magnitude like a car, but how much more should the continual praise flow from our lips for the eternal gift of Jesus and all that comes with him? And so for each and every person, Lord, who calls this their church home, may these words penetrate. And for those who sit here today who do not yet know you, my prayer is, Father, that they would see that Christ and Christ alone is the only answer, Lord, for the trouble of their souls, for the burden of their sins, and that simply confessing Jesus Christ as Lord, believing in him and him alone, is what saves once and for all. And so, Lord, do a marvelous work this week as we celebrate Thanksgiving. May it not just be today, but may it be a daily, weekly, monthly expression of who we are as your people. We pray and we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.